Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Joel chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Very soon, Jesus Christ will return to this earth again. And he's going to judge every person based upon their decision to either accept or reject him as their personal Savior and Lord. In John chapter 3 and 36, it says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Romans 14, verses 10 through 12 says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God for what he has done." And God wants us to take this message to the world, especially those in your families, especially those who are your co-workers and your neighbors and people that you know. God wants us to give them this message so that they will avoid going to an awful eternity. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Folks, it's such an easy thing to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Truthfully, I don't know why the whole world just does not accept Christ. But I believe one of the reasons is it's because there's a spiritual battle that prevents people from just saying those simple words, "Lord, forgive me of my sins and I accept you as my Savior." You see, the devil does not want any person to be saved. It is his desire that all humanity spend eternity in hell with him and with his wicked angels. And hell really is a reality, and the only way we can avoid going there is by accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I know there are a lot of other religions, but there's only one way to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can go to the Father except by me." In Acts 4 and 12, it says, "There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I know a lot of people, when they present Jesus Christ and they talk about God, they talk about a God of love. He is a God of love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who died on the cross so that we would not have to die and be judged for our sins." But we must preach both sides of the gospel. We must give the whole message. The rest of that message is, those who do not accept Jesus Christ are under the wrath of God. They will be punished because of rejecting him. A person who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior will spend their eternity in hell. And we must let people know the truth. The Bible says in Jude 21 and 23, "Wait patiently for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to give you. However, save some by snatching them as from the very flames of hell itself." Now, we have been praying and fasting for our loved ones and our friends and our co-workers, for our community, and yes, even for this nation, that every person would become born again. My prayer is God would put such an awful burden on your heart for the souls of men. I know the Bible says God shall wipe away all tears in heaven, but how can we not be burdened when we stand in the judgment and see those people standing before God, knowing that we're in heaven and they are about to step into the lake of fire for all eternity? There'll be people there you know. I pray it won't be your loved ones. As they stand around the great white throne, judgment of God, who will judge them from the things in the book, I pray that you would have said something to those who stand before that throne. I pray that I would have said something to every person I see around that throne, because their next stop is hell and the lake of fire. This is not a fairy tale. Hell is a real place. Jesus said that when the rich man died and was buried in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he was in torment. The Bible tells us that hell is a place that was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for human spirits. But those who reject Jesus Christ cannot go to heaven. They've rejected him. They've already made up their mind. They don't want to spend eternity with him. Therefore, hell is the only place they can go. Hell is a place of unquenchable fire. The fire and the flames will never go out. Well, you say, well, how can a spirit be burned and tormented? Remember, hell was made for spirits, for the devil and his angels. They're spirit beings. Hell is a place of unspeakable pain and suffering. The Bible calls it a place of outer darkness, a place of unsatisfied thirst. Imagine being thirsty and never able to even get a drop of water for all eternity. People who go to hell will have feelings. They'll feel the pain. They'll feel the thirst. And they will have memories and regrets for every time they came to a church, or every time they picked up the Bible, or they read a tract, or someone said, accept Jesus Christ. Those thoughts will torment them throughout eternity. They'll say to themselves, all I needed to do was just say those words. Why didn't I say those words? Millions of people will say those words in hell, and nothing will happen. Too late. Too late. Hell is a place people will spend eternity with no escape, no way out. And I need to mention to you once again that we are responsible to tell everyone we know. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8 through 9, it says, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die. That means God is talking to people. The average person who doesn't know the Lord will tell you, I know in my heart I need to make it right with God. They'll say, I know I'm not doing the right thing. When people were polled and they asked, are you going to heaven and hell? Many people said, I know I'm going to hell. How do they know that? Because God is already talking to people. He's telling them, if you don't live a life that you should, you can't go to heaven. God says, when I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you will surely die. And you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sins. But I will hold you accountable for his blood. That means we are accountable for the people that we know. God gives us each a sphere of influence. Family members, friends, individuals we meet, co-workers, people we meet at school, fellow students. our neighbors. God gives us a sphere of influence so that we can share the gospel with individuals. There'll never be anyone more effective than you in sharing the gospel with the people you know. That's how people come to church. It's not because they pick up a phone book. It's not necessarily because they heard about you or they saw you in the newspaper. It's because someone invited them to church. Someone they knew, someone they trusted came. And that's the way God designed for salvation to work. By our witness, by our sharing, by our telling others about Jesus Christ. And when we don't do that, those people will be lost. Every one of us have people assigned to us that we must tell. And they will not make it in. They are your assignment. And that's the reason why God says you're accountable. You are accountable to the people in your sphere of influence. That's your assignment. None of us were saved or born again just to go to heaven by ourselves. God designated a group of people we're supposed to influence to take to heaven with us. I have no idea what God is going to say when we do not fulfill that assignment, but I can promise you he's going to say something if we haven't witnessed or talk to, or expose the people in our sphere of influence to the Lord. I promise you, God would never put that in the Word. You may say, I'll talk with them another time. I'll talk with them tomorrow. I've got to get the nerve up, whatever. Listen, you don't know how much time people have. People are dying every day. People are moving away. You have no idea how much time you have to share the gospel with somebody.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now I want to read a portion from a book called Revival, Fire, and Glory. And I mentioned this a few weeks back, but now I found the book. And I want to read something to you that I really hope will challenge you. One day a woman named Louise fell asleep in her bed and dreamed a very fitful dream. She dreamed that someone in hell wrote a letter to her, and it was delivered to her by a messenger. When the messenger gave her the letter, he said it was written by a friend of hers in hell. Louise, in her dream, with trembling hands, took the letter and began to read. It started out, "My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell me the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together on the earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you my friend and trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you a friend in life and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet, on coming to the end, I cannot now call you my friend. The letter was signed Marcia. After reading the letter in her dream, Louise awoke with the dream still fresh and real in her mind and sweat dropping from her body in pools. She even swore that she could still smell brimstone in her room. And as she contemplated the meaning of the dream, she realized that as a Christian, she had failed to preach the gospel. As she thought on that, she promised herself she would give Marcia a call in the morning and invite her to go to church. So the next morning, she called Marcia, and this was the conversation. Bill, is Marcia there? Louise, you don't know. No, Bill, no what? Marcia was killed last night in a car accident. I thought you already knew. This is a true story. You see, we don't know how long we have to share salvation with people. We don't know how long they have. It's not enough for us to know the Lord and to be safe. God has called us to pray, to fast, to expose people to the gospel. That's why we're here. The Bible says, I called you from your mother's womb, and I separated you to be my spokesperson to the world. Our purpose is to love, to honor, and to serve God, but also to tell others the gospel message. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1, it says, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. And as you make your requests, plead for God's mercy upon them. This is good and it pleases God our Savior, for he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and men. And he is the man, Christ Jesus. It's time for us to pray for the spirit of supplication, for the spirit of intercession, to be able to cry out by the move of the Spirit upon us, not just words, people. The Holy Spirit wants to pray for you. The Holy Spirit wants to cry out for the lost around you. My prayer is that the Lord will come upon each and every one of us so that we can fulfill our destiny in bringing others to Jesus Christ. I believe if we truly believe that the Lord was coming back, even next week, this church would be filled with anybody we found on the street, family members, whoever. We'd get them at least in the presence of God. Some of us are not good in talking to people. But God told us to be a witness. You can just introduce someone to Christ. Just get them to where the truth is. Get them to the place where they can get the knowledge of the truth. That's what God expects us to do. The time for us to walk away from people and not be able to share the gospel is over, folks. There are people literally dying. The last census or poll that was taken, it stated at least 1 million people die in this country a year. 1 million people die a year. I have no idea what percentage of those people know Christ. I would think it's a greater percentage that don't, who will spend their eternity in hell. We need revival in our lives, where heaven and hell becomes more real to us than living this life and accomplishing the goals that we have. Where we begin to understand that these few years that we live cannot compare to the eternity in which we will all live. I dare to say that many of us, when we get on the other side, we'll want to slap ourselves. Not pat ourselves on the back, but slap ourselves because we maintained our time doing the things that have to do with this life instead of preparing others for eternity. You only get one chance at this, folks. God will not send us back again. This is the time to invest your life in the salvation of souls. We need a revival. We need for our hearts to be ripped apart with what concerns God, not ourselves. One of the hardest things for us to do as believers is to pray, to read the Bible, to spend time with God. Well, let me just say something to you. You're going to spend time with Him for all eternity. Now, one of the things the Lord said to me that shook me, and I'm going to end with this, and we'll pick it up again next week. I said, well, Lord, I have a question for you. And I was in prayer. When I see you, the Bible says you're going to say, well done. Are you going to say well done to everybody? And I heard the Spirit say, no. And then the Lord started putting this in my heart. He said, listen, the same relationship you have with me now is the relationship you'll have with me in heaven. I said, wow. Well, I need to really get closer, more intimate with you. He said, that's right. See, people say, when I see Jesus, I'm going to run up to him. I'm going to give him a big hug. You'll be happy if he says, oh, who are you? What's your name? Oh, you're the 5 minute a day person. Oh, you're the every other day person. Oh, you're the once a week person you came to church. Oh, you're that person who never had time for me person. Hi. Glad you made it. Some others, he may say, how did you make it? I wasn't expecting you. We need to be real about our relationship with God. We need to be real about God. One day we are going to see Jesus, and the way we treat him here on earth is the way he's going to treat us in heaven.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message for today is Revival or Ruin. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Father, I thank you for these faithful listeners. Your word says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver and honor him. Father, I pray that you would deliver all those who need deliverance today in every area of their lives. We trust you today, Lord, to make a way for us. Father, you see the time in which we live. You see the difficulties in which we encounter. And we just thank you today because you are near to all those that call upon you, to all those who call upon you in truth. And so, Lord, we come through the precious name of your Son, Jesus, asking you to intervene on our behalf. We rebuke sickness, disease, pain. We come against anything opposing us and coming against us. We thank you for divine intervention and deliverance today. All in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.